good?
Amen. I believe the Lord wants to speak and continue to speak to us right from prayer time right into the Word. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. I want to begin of a note that I saw one time, and as we try to talk about the connected church, which fits into the series that we've been talking about, connecting to God and others, and I see this note that was out front of a store. It says, "Thank you for noticing the new notice. You're noticing it has been noted." What? Sometimes we see things and we say a lot of words, but they don't really say anything. I looked at that and I thought, wow, I had to scratch my head after that, wondering, you know, really? Couldn't you make it just a little easier? If you remember last week, we started the series, we were looking at the Ten Commandments. As we were talking about connecting to God, we begin that series by looking at the Ten Commandments. We realized that out of the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments were relational with God. You know, you got to get this right. You got to get those four things right in our walk with God. And then if you look, the other six are kind of relational to each other as we looked out. And if, you know, after looking at it, you realize that you're never really going to have a proper relationship with others until you get your relationship with God right. And a lot of times we do that out of order. We try to build all the relationships with everybody else. It's based upon how we want to maneuver ourselves and everybody else. God kind of takes a backseat. And God's saying, really, if you're going to have a relationship with me that's meaningful, you really got to do it the other way around. I've got to be first. You got to get in a proper relationship with me. And then because of that, filters out a proper relationship with everybody else. And that God desires. And this is the hard part. So grab this into your brain this morning. Receive this, is that God desires to have an intimate and a relational relationship with you. Not one that's you know, just generic, but intimate and desiring to have a deep relationship with you. And when you allow that to happen, then you're going to feel connected to God. You get that? Because a lot of times, I don't feel connected, you know, with someone. So I don't feel connected with God. It's like God's out there and I can't have a relationship with Him. You know, you listen to certain people and they're great at throwing these prayers out, and they just feel like, you know, it's something that they have to do. But I'm telling you this morning, God desires to have an intimate relationship with you, a meaningful relationship with you. And when you do that and do things in the right order, then all of a sudden you're going to feel connected, because God's Word says what? That your spirit's going to bear witness with His spirit, and that you're going to know that you're a child of God, and you know that when you give your prayers that the Lord's hearing, you know that the Lord wants to work on your behalf. And people really feel disconnected because they want a God that's a genie in a bottle. That they want a God that they can call on if they have a need. You know, just rub that lamp, all comes God, He's going to meet a need, then put the lamp away. But you know, God doesn't operate that way. You know, God's not going to just keep coming around when you're calling on Him. But you know, we don't want, and let's be honest, a lot of times we do. We want a God that we can call on when we're in need, put Him off to the side when everything's going good, or we feel we can handle it, and we don't call Him again until, you know, we're at that crisis point again. But we really don't want a God that restricts us in what we want to do. We don't want a God to tell us no. Heaven forbid, we don't want a God that would say no. And you know, we don't really want God that desires a relationship. We'd rather keep it casual. We'd rather be at that distance. And God said, that's not how it's going to work. That's not what I'm wanting. That's not what's best for you. And, you know, I'm going to do everything that I can to sway you and move you into a relationship. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. It's Peter's confession of Christ. It's a familiar verse, and I'll show you how we're going to pull this text into really how we can be connected with in the church together, how we're going to pull together and be in this right relationship with God. Starting at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Father, as we take a moment to look at your word and look at the connectivity of being the church and really what it means to be the church and how that relates to us relational with you, Lord God, I ask that you would anoint the word, that it not return void, but to accomplish everything that you wanted to accomplish. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us, and that no one would leave here not changed by the power of your word, and we would apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to see something as we look at this text. I want you to know that Peter got it. Can I say that? Remember a couple weeks ago I said Moses was the man, and this is why he was the man. Well, I'm reading this text this morning, and I got to say Peter got it. He understood that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And that redemption was in one person of Jesus Christ. And above all else, he understood that God wanted to maintain a relationship with each one of us. Now, I have to be honest. I don't know where each one of you are at this morning in your idea of what church is. But I know from listening to people out in the community and the Bountiful Blessing Ministries and all the other things that we do, I know, and some of the emails that I've gotten where people have asked me certain questions, I don't know where you're at this morning in particular. God knows, and God can answer that. But I want you to know that there's people out there that believe that the church is nothing but a get-together of people that take up offerings. That's what the church is. Because if you listen to them, here's their response. All the church is wanting money. All the church does is, you know, want your money, and they don't want anything else. And they won't nail you down and talk to you or anything else except where there's money involved. But let me tell you, that's a lie from the devil. Because here is the thing. God's word tells us that, you know, the church is not an invented way to take an offering. You know, that wasn't a God-ordained deal just to take an offering, but it is God-ordained, it is God-invented, it is God-supported function of Christ-like people coming together and being disciples of Christ. That's the whole idea. And in the midst of all of that, then God says, you know what, I'm going to bring the world in and allow them an opportunity to see the Christ that you love. And then you got to realize that we're all at different levels and different journeys. So don't try to be judgmental, because you're all not at the same spot. And when you get that right, when you understand what Christ is trying to do, you know, and then you realize that the foundation of church is Jesus Christ. And when you look at everything else that happens in the church and maintain that Christ has to be the foundation, and then to stand here in this verse and he says, you know what, Peter, you got it. You understand. And upon that fact that I am the Son of the living God, upon that fact that I'm your redemption, upon that fact that I desire to have a relationship, upon that fact, I'm going to build the church. So that tells you that the world really has miscued or misfired on what they believe the church is. But it's because they missed out on some of the other areas. They don't have a relationship with Christ. They don't have a fellowship with people of like-minded faith. They didn't understand that 10% of everything that you have is God's. So all he's doing is calling you back to give what you're supposed to give back, and you get to keep 90%. I think that's a pretty good deal. You want to give me a 10, I'll give you a dollar, and I'll do it all day long. We won't stop until you run out of tens. Because that's what God's asking. So all of the things that the world is looking at the church, they're missing it. And then on top of all of that, Jesus goes as far to say in this verse that He's going to give us the keys of heaven and allow us to have the power of God working in our lives, that what we bind here on earth is going to be bound in heaven and vice versa. Whatever you loose here on earth is going to be loosed in heaven and vice versa. And all in the fact that God wants to do it in our lives. And what does He say? If you're in my will, if you're in the will of God, if you're doing the things of God, I'm going to give you the power to do it. I'm going to give you the resources to do it. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Do you realize what that would look like if the church universal would get it? We wouldn't run around like we're handcuffed. We wouldn't run around always worrying about some of the things that are going on. Do you realize the power that we would have as a focused church if we did things more in the power of God and understand what's going on, and that Satan is a defeated foe, and that we don't have to run around running around and feel like we've lost our best friend all the time? Jesus is telling us that following Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, even though at times it's hard, has a whole lot of benefits. Has a whole lot of benefits. And I don't want to give up being a part of that family. He tells us that if we would allow Him to do it, He chooses to use each and every one of us as a tool for the kingdom of God. Did you notice? I didn't stutter. I said every one of us as a tool to build the kingdom of God. Now, let me give you an illustration. One preacher one time was standing before his congregation. It was a time where the weather was bad and not many people had showed up. And he stands up before him. He says, "Folks, I know the weather's bad today. Let me give you a little example of Murphy's Law for preachers." And he stands up and he begins to say, "Rule number one: when the weather is extremely bad, attendance is bad." He says, "Law number two is when the weather is extremely good, the attendance is bad." And then he says, "Now, rule number three, when we're short of bulletins, we will always beat our expectations." Isn't that about right? Let's be honest. And that's what God's trying to get past. He's, you know, I have listened to many people over the years looking for the perfect church. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. If you were going to a perfect church, well, let me rephrase that. If there was a perfect church, you can't go there. Sorry. You can't go there. Now, if this was a perfect church, I couldn't preach here. Because I'm not perfect. So aren't you glad that you know what? Stop looking for the perfect church and start looking where God wants you. Start looking for areas that you can minister to so that I don't have to do Murphy's Law for preachers. And understand. Because see, most of them that are looking for this perfect church are just floating around from church to church and looking, trying and saying, "I can't connect to any of them." Well, no, that'd be pretty tough. If you're looking for a perfect church and you're not perfect, and 9 times out of 10, I would have to say the preacher's not perfect and the board members aren't perfect and everything to do isn't perfect. Well, it's going to be pretty hard to connect unless you're going to realize that, you know, you're going to have to live by grace a little bit. Jesus says in the midst of all of that He's going to build this church, His church, the church that He wants, and then He promises that the gates of hell won't bring it down. That's good stuff. That tells me that, you know, and I got our board members here, and that tells me what? That we need to just keep on doing what we know God wants us to do. He's going to show us and correct us and move us and adjust us. And we're seeing some amazing things. You've heard some testimonies. Amazing things that God's doing. And then he says in the midst of that, that he's going to build his church and the gates of hell won't bring it down. But I have to be honest. Sometimes I think hell's rattling the cage and the gates pretty hard, don't you? In our lives and in the church. You know, sometimes they're making a lot of noise, banging the gates, but God tells us that he's going to be in the center of it. Luke chapter 9 tells us that the first message of mentioning a Christian is at Antioch. And Christians are followers of Christ. See, I think a lot of times we just throw that word out so many times, and you see it today. You know, some think, really, that if you're born in the United States, you're a Christian. If you're born in the United States, you've got to be a Christian. Some believe that they're Christian because of their family and where grandma went and some other things and down through the line that they believe because of that, that they're Christian or where they stand in the community and they're upstanding citizens, so they must be Christians. And some actually believe that because they're not Jewish, they're not Buddhist, they're not Hinduist, that they got to be Christian. They don't know. But I know I'm not this, this, and this, so I must be a Christian. Jesus Christ tells us that the church is ordained way for Christians, followers of Christ, to stay connected to him through the church. Kind of blows all away all of those that say, I don't need church. I don't have much mercy for them when it comes to that. You've ever seen me in some of these conversations, they usually don't get even past that statement. They haven't even drawn that next before they start that second set, and I'm in there because they do need the church, and they do need to be connected to Christ. Here's the great thing: the church is a place where someone can begin a relationship with Christ. It's a place that Christians that are mature in the Lord can come and get discipled by Christ. They can get active in service for him. But it's the brand new person that's wandering down the street and says, you know what? I need to be in church. I need to start again. Something, my life is all tangled up. And they wander into a church and God meets them right there and begins a relationship with them right where they're at. They didn't suddenly have to be a 30-year Christian. They're a one-moment Christian, and then they build on that journey. But that's the way the church should be. That's what we ought to be looking for. Wanting to build this relationship with Christ. Wanting to have a place to do it. And a place where we can be discipled. Or we can be taught the things of God and gather support and encourage for one another. That's the church. That's what God wants to connect to. And if you don't know Christ, or if you're not at least searching for Christ, no wonder you have ideas of what the church is. To say that you don't need church is a slap to the very thing that God instituted. And some people don't call it an institution. I don't want no part of no institution. Well, let's just say God ordained it and you ain't part of it. And you're missing out. Because it's what God wants. To not stay connected is to say to God, all the things that you have to say to me when I decide I'm going to sleep in, or I'm going to work in the yard, or I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, all of those times, God, you had something to say to me, but I don't want to listen. And then we come back and we say, well, God, why didn't you tell me about this? Well, you should have been there in that other series that the preacher did. He didn't do a good job on it, but he got the point across. And you'd have grabbed onto it. And you know, well, maybe you needed to be a part of that small group. Maybe you needed to be a part of that prayer team. Maybe you needed to fellowship. And we did all kinds of infomercials of all the things that are going on in the church. Maybe you need to get involved. Maybe you need to be more than a one-hour Christian. Maybe you need to understand that, God, I'm trying to work in your life, and you're fighting me all the way. Until you get that, God's saying, you know what? You can't blame the church. You can't blame anybody but yourself, because I'm trying to reach out to you in all these different areas. And he's saying, if you will just determine that you're going to get connected, then I have something to say to you, and I'm going to give you the strength to do it, And I'm even going to allow some people to get around you and fellowship with you and encourage you and strengthen you along the way. Everybody should say amen. That's the kind of church that we really need to be a part of, connected to. So here I'm saying, a church, what kind of church are you looking for? This morning, what kind of church? Only you know, I don't need hands. What kind of church are you looking for this morning? Are you looking for, now let me just throw this out at you at the end of this. This is not going to be the kind of church you're looking for. But are you looking for a church that's open when it's convenient for you? Some want service to start at 10. Some say 10:30. Some say 11. Well, I want a church that opens when it's convenient to me. I want a church to begin when I get there. I want a church to always be there, but I'm not going to support it, and I'm going to be mad because I expect it to be there when I need it. Now, what kind of church would that? That would be a meat church. Do you understand? It wouldn't be Church of the Nazarene. It wouldn't be any other denomination. They might as well just say meat church, where everything is about me. And we would miss it. Now, in the same sense, and we're talking silly now, but what kind of church does Jesus expect? What kind of church was he? According to this text, according to what we just read, Jesus is looking for a church that's founded on Jesus Christ. That's what he's looking for. He says, I can work with that church, and I'm going to keep them from banging the gates around them as long as their foundation is on Jesus Christ. I'm looking for a church that realizes, now get this, I'm a church that realizes that they have the power to make an impact. They have the ability to make a difference because the gates of hell shall not prevail. They take me at my word and they're going to do something about it. And he's looking for a church that realizes they're in a spiritual warfare. They're in a battle. And that God has given us the power, according to this text, according to his word, to bind the things that aren't of God. Isn't that good? To come against, to go and bind the things that are not of God and loose the things that are of God. The me church. We're there again. Yep, that's me. We're there at the me church. God can't bless that. God can't bless a me church. The only way a me church even exists is when the people of God decide that it's all about them. That's the only way that a me church survives. God wants to bless the church that is about God's business, about the things that he is trying to do. The church that is reaching out instead of having a holy huddle within. Now, before you go into this long spiel about the church not being just a building, I know that. So, you know, save the emails, and you're listening to this on the internet. Don't send me anything. I understand that. I know that the church is not about a building. But the church is this. The church is the people. Not just the building, but people that gather together here, but operate out there.
Amen.
That's what the church is. People gathering in a building here, operating out there. That's what God is looking for. The church has four principles: teaching, fellowship, communion, in prayer. And I'm watching my time because it's getting away from us this morning. Four things: teaching, hearing God's word, drawing people to Christ, discipling people at all different levels, mature Christians to new believers, all wanting to be more Christ-like. That's the teaching side of fellowship. We need each other. I need you, you need me. We need each other to help each other, to encourage and support each other. And then the communion side, we're going to do that in just a few minutes, to break bread and remember what Christ has done for each and every one of us. The fourth thing is prayer. All the prayer teams that go up praying for the service, praying for the body of Christ to make an impact, praying for our ministries that are going on, praying for each other, praying that we would be accountable and making sure that no one is, if possible, would fall through the cracks. Now, let me say, if you're not taking advantage of that, whose fault is that? If God provides the four principles of what a church should do and you're not taking advantage of it, whose fault would it be? Now, I do have to say, I want a church and a people that matter, don't you? That it matters. I want to see and be honest with God and with each other. And it's not about tithes. It's not about cars. It's not about anything except hearing from God and wanting God to change our lives. I want to be a church in motion. Not just doing things because we've always done it that way. You know, not always just because. I want us to be a church with a message. But let me just say this. And you hear this from me all the time. I want to be a church with a message, but I want it to be a church that the message only is coming from the pastor. I want it to come each and every day, lived out in each and every one of our lives. That we're beginning to make an impact. I want to be a church in motion. And I want you to know that the church needs to be that spearhead. The church has to make that change. The church has to connect with people here and then take it out there. 138 million people call church home every Sunday morning, but I wonder out of that how many are actually doing church and not are being church and not just going to church. How many are hear an inspired message, whether here or anywhere in church general? How many hear an inspired message and go home and do nothing with it? Don't apply it to their lives. Because to me, a great sermon that is not applied to our lives is worthless. Amen. It's just a moment that, wow. You know, whether I hear it, whether you're a part of it, or anything else. If you didn't do anything with it, it's worthless because it's not applied to our lives. I have to tell you, and I know I'm getting a little windy today, but one time I was standing at the back door saying goodbye to everybody, and the Lord spoke to me to give this person some money. I'm sitting there thinking, I turn around, I go to look at my wallet, I have a few dollars. I'm wrestling with the fact that I only had a few dollars in my wallet. And the Lord was just saying, give this person this money. I give this person this money. And really, I thought they were going to say, is this all? But this person began to cry and said it was exactly what I needed.
Praise God.
It was exactly what I needed. Now, before you think I'm special, how about all the times that I don't want to talk about the times that I didn't do what God said? Anybody besides me been there? See, disobedience, delayed disobedience is disobedience. Partial disobedience is still disobedience. The carpenter at Nazareth is still trying to build his church. When we're walking in God's obedience, we're not going to be surprised that God wants to do something. Did you get that? When we're walking in obedience, God is doing something. We shouldn't be surprised when God shows up. One last illustration and I'll wind down. One Sunday morning, a stranger walks into the church. Illustration, not here. Walks into a small country church in the middle of the sermon. The man was dirty and unkempt and clearly smelled of alcohol. The ushers tried to seat him in the back as far as they could. And he wanted no part of that, but insisted on coming right up front, right where the preacher was. And the preacher eyeballs him. He keeps going. He begins to say a few things. The man's, amen, brother. Preach it. You tell it, preacher. And after a while, the preacher gave him a look. He just kept right on. And pretty soon, here comes the usher. Sir, we don't act like that in church. And the man said, I just got religion. I know, sir, but you didn't get that here. We got to be careful. We've got to be careful what we're saying and what we're doing. And I'm closing. Isaiah 58 tells us and talks about it. And I'll paraphrase it because, like I said, we're running out of time this morning. It talks about that we should shout aloud and not hold back. It tells us that we should do these things not because we've always done it. And if we do things the way we've always done it, we're probably not going to have a voice that is heard out in the community. I'm paraphrasing Isaiah 58, 1 to 6. But you know what people hear after a while when we're not doing what God has to say? They're hearing that new term, blah, blah, blah. That's what they're hearing. You're saying a whole lot of stuff, but all they're hearing is blah, 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 because it's not sinking in. And then that verse tells us that if we're going to do what the church is supposed to do, that we're going to loose the chains of injustice, where we're going to untie the ungodly yokes that are going on in people's lives, and we're going to set the oppressed free. That's the kind of church I want to be. How about you? I want to see God do some amazing things. And the church will never be what Jesus called it to be without the called out ones being intentional. Doing what they're called to do, which means every one of us. It's not just board members. It's not just department heads. It's not just the pastor. It's every one of us taking the Word of God where we're at and applying it to people's life, giving them an opportunity. You can't drag people into the kingdom of God, but you can talk to them. You can meet them one-on-one. That's what we were talking about at Bountiful Blessing, just meeting people where they're at. Showing them the love of Christ, not only in giving them something physical that they could use, but making yourself available for something that could have spiritual benefits. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of church I'd love to see. Amen. That's the kind of church that I'd love to be a part of. God knows that's the kind of church that I'm praying that I'm pastor of. And we're gonna see God doing amazing things. Talk with one, and I'm sure it happens in every church. We'd be packed if everybody showed up. Just can't get everybody at the same time. And the world wants to tell us, that's okay. How about a church that just decides they're going to be Isaiah 58 and say, no, that's not good enough. How about praying that the house begins to be full? How about allowing God to do works in our lives that causes us to be connected? And maybe you're here this morning, you need to be reconnected. Give God an opportunity this morning. Give God an opportunity to do what He wants to do in our lives. How many want to say that today? I'm sure that's our prayers. That's our prayer. We're going to close here in prayer in a minute, then go to communion. But you know, that's our prayer. How about in your prayer? How about telling God this morning that you're intentional, that you really mean it, that you're not going to forget it 15 minutes after you leave here today? Then watch what God wants to do. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be the church connected. That we would be the church that you want us to be, the church that is called out, the church that's making an impact, the church that's operating in the anointing and power of God. And then we're going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Lord Jesus. We give you honor and we give you praise. For anyone this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray right where they're at, that they would ask you into their lives, acknowledge that they need a Savior. And Lord God, from this moment on, that you would change their life forever. For some, Lord God, we just need to be honest and we need to reconnect. For those that are reconnecting this morning, I pray that they not let the devil steal what you've just given them. And Lord God, that today would be a turning point in their life, back on track, back walking with you, back trusting you to do what you originally called them to do. And we're going to thank you in advance for that.